Welcome back. This week on the podcast, I talk with Stuart Bauer. Stuart is, he's founded multiple companies within the fitness and wellness space. I know him as the owner and founder of WTF Gym Talk. It's an online resource and podcast for anybody in the fitness industry. He runs multiple companies. He's founded multiple businesses within the fitness space. But in this conversation, we go through his story from his humble beginnings, him moving to Charlotte and opening his first gym, getting into CrossFit. And since 2006, he has been in the fitness industry ever since then. He has made it his career and his mission. And he works with gym owners. He works with people in the industry and in all different capacities as a consultant, as a sounding board, as a resource. So it was an awesome conversation. He's experienced everything through his entrepreneurial journey. And it was just a joy and a pleasure to have him on. Big shout out to Rebel Rabbit. Rebel Rabbit connected us, and he is a big fan and advocate of Rebel Rabbit. So, of course, as you know, if you've listened to the podcast, Rebel Rabbit's been a great partner of mine for some time now. We are doing a giveaway this week. So if you go to our Instagram, you can go join the giveaway, but it's a case of Rebel Rabbit. So make sure to go check that out and enter the giveaway for a chance to win some Rebel Rabbit. And a few of my other sponsors, which I'm so grateful for, are Pelham Medical Center. Pelham Medical Center it's a hospital, but it's not just a hospital in my mind. It's a community about 10 minutes outside of Greenville City, and it's one of the top hospitals and organizations in the state of South Carolina and really in the country. They've won incredible awards for their patient satisfactory. They have some incredible things around their orthopedic surgeries and procedures. Coming up next month, I actually talked with one of their cardiologists, and they have won some really cool and incredible things going on there as well. And then Spinks. Spinks is a local convenience store. They're not so local anymore because they are growing all over the Southeast. But Spinks, for me growing up, I thought they were just a convenience store. But what they do for the communities that they are in is what makes Spinks special, and I think is what makes them have great synergy with my podcast. They give back millions and millions of dollars to their communities and to organizations like the March of Dimes. So if you see Spinks, make sure to stop in and support your local Spinks, because I can guarantee you they are supporting the communities they are in. If you're in Greenville or around the upstate of South Carolina or really anywhere, look into Pelham Medical Center, because I think they are incredible. I think they're the best hospital in the state of South Carolina and one of the top communities and organizations in the country, and they have a lot of different things they can help you out with. And then, of course, Rebel Rabbit. Enter the giveaway, but you can also go to their link in the show notes and use my promo code. If you want to get some shipped directly to you, use promo code LIFE20. You'll get 20% off your order. The link in the show notes will take you directly to that promo code where you can order. Then also make sure to check out Stuart. Stuart's link is in the show notes. If you're interested in getting in touch with them, get in touch with them. I can help link you out. Shoot us a message on Instagram, whatever it might be. But all his resources are there at that link. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Stuart Bauer. Stu, what's up, man? You're not too far from me in Charlotte, North Carolina. But first off, excited to have you. How's your day going?
My day's going great, brother. My day's going great. How about yours?
It's going good. It's been a jam-packed day. I'm back at the home office now, which is nice. Looking forward to a good, more relaxing weekend now that we're through the holidays.
Yeah.
With
I don't mind the holidays. I'm a guy that craves routine, and the holidays fuck up my routine. I got a kid, and you know, it's family and traveling and all that. It's great. Like I would not want to miss out on that. But there's that part of me that like January, like toward even towards like before New Year's, I'm like, can we all just get back to the normal routine? And I crave coming back to work that first week of January, because it gives me consistency and routine.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was telling my wife that
We've the last couple weekends, you know, Christmas and New Year's and even the holidays before that, like, we haven't been able to do our normal Saturday routine where we get up, we either go get some coffee and then hit our favorite exercise class and then, like, do something, a little adventure type thing. So I'm just excited to get back to the normal Saturday routine where I do what I want to do.
What's your favorite workout? Like, where do you like to work out in Greenville?
So tomorrow we'll go to a place, it's actually called Soul Yoga, but it's a workout class. So it's nice. Heated, mix between weights and high intensity. So they have like some cardio burst thrown in there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like relatively light weights. I usually use 15-pound weights. And
listen, it's any weight can be heavy, man. Any weight can be heavy.
You're right. Once you're on rep 30 of those 10-pound weights, you're not feeling big and buff anymore.
100%.
I do want to get into, you know, your story a little bit because, I mean, you've accomplished a lot, but like I've read and I've listened to you talk about, I mean, a lot of hard work and a lot of purpose went into your why and how you did a lot of the things you did. Where did you grow up?
I was born in Chicago. I lived a lot of different places, but Cleveland, Ohio is home for me. That's where I spent the majority of my formative years. I had some time in New Jersey, but Ohio for the majority of it. Graduated college in 2009 after I took a little victory lap, a little fifth year. I like to party. And ended up in Nashville, Tennessee for a little bit, and then got over here to Charlotte and haven't left.
Yeah, man. I did half of a victory lap, so... But I took a lot of summer school to make that work. So,
got it. Okay.
I tell people I wanted that extra football season. With your life growing up, did you have siblings? You know, were you super active? Were you? I've read you got in some trouble along the years too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was. I got a younger sister, 3 years younger than me, and always been active. You know, three season athlete. You know, with it, and my mom was single. I had a single mother, so she loved that shit, right? Taking me to whatever. But I was always into it. I never really got into fitness until high school. I was a big kid in grade school. Like, I played football, and I had hit a growth spurt early in eighth grade. I was the man. Well, fast forward to freshman year high school, all through high school, even into my sophomore year in college, I'm not the man, right? In high school, I was 145 pounds soaking wet and a ginger at an all-boys school trying to make varsity lacrosse and get laid on the weekends. Tough gig, brother. Tough gig. So, I mean, I lived in the weight room. And I did get in a lot of disciplinary trouble, and that you know, our detention hours would put me in the weight room cleaning a lot of times, and I, you know, I'd be down there, there's no one down there, start sifting through books and Mel Siff Super Training and Mark Ripiteau and Charles Poliquin and Dave Tate and just all these godfathers of strength and conditioning, and that set me to my scholastic in college. I got my degree in exercise physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of catapulted, that's what kind of pushed me into being in the fitness industry. And that's all I've ever done is be in the fitness industry.
Yeah, I've read you self-describe your first job as like the Globo Gym corporate job.
Yeah.
We won't name who it is, and I don't know who it was. But that did get you into the industry, and it looks like it was a passion from your, you know, from the get-go, especially through high school and all the research you're doing.
Yeah, I was in college and I got a hot stock tip, right? It's like someone whispered to me, like, dude, check out CrossFit. And I can't remember who, or it was an internship, I believe, I was doing. I was traveling, and summer times I had an internship through the National Strength and Conditioning Association. And someone had told me about CrossFit, and I went down that path. And so I always knew I wanted to open one of these, because it was the most radical thing in 2006, 7, 8, 9. Nothing looked like it. And I'm a big fan of when everyone zigs, I zag. Everyone's going right, I'm curious about what the fuck's going on the left. I'm always looking at what's everyone doing? Why aren't they doing? Like, why is this thing not more popular? And that always intrigues my interest. So I got accepted into a master's program for exercise physiology, and I was going to be an assistant strength and conditioning coach at a college at MTSU in Tennessee. And I didn't even show up. I lost my deposit. I never even showed up. I stayed in Nashville. I started working for a CrossFit gym there for $600 a month. I had to pawn every guitar I owned, all my worldly possessions, because I couldn't afford my rent because I was getting paid $600 a month. And eventually I realized I don't know anything about business. And in that world, there was no such thing as just opening up your own gym prior to CrossFit. There wasn't. Like, if you wanted to open up your own gym, you couldn't just open up a Gold's Gym or a health club. You needed, I mean, that was millions and millions of dollars. So the only opportunity you had is like opening up a very small mom and pop kind of health club model. And this CrossFit thing kind of happened, and it gave people and especially 2008 happened, which there was, you know, the economic crash, which means warehouse and industrial commercial real estate was available at a steal. You could get a year or 2 years free rent if you signed a 7-year lease, because most property owners were underwater after the crash. So it was just this perfect timing. So I went and worked for a CrossFit gym, realized I didn't know anything about business, but who did those health clubs, what I call like the Globo Gym from Dodgeball, right? Yeah. Ben Stiller and what's his name? I'm drawing a blank on it. But anyway, that's where that term came
Ben
from.
Spahn,
and I went to the Globo Gym route, and that was my MBA in business. I learned more in the 2 years. I climbed very quickly through those ranks. I got picked up by another company to be a VP of personal training over a bunch of different clubs. And that's what kind of brought me from Nashville to Charlotte, North Carolina. And then I eventually just split ways with them and went my own entrepreneurial route. And that's, you know, what I've been doing ever since. And that was 2011.
Didn't that happen through kind of like a side gig you started, which I thought was brilliant?
Oops, hold up. I think I lost your audio real quick.
I'm not proud.
See? Go.
Still hear me?
I got you now.
All right, perfect. I think that happened, or did that happen through like a little side gig you got? That where you were working with apartments, which is brilliant.
I was,
by the way.
Yeah. So I was making a really good money for a kid my age in the Globo Gym scene, but I knew I wanted to start my own thing. So when I in Charlotte, North Carolina, it was exploding. There's apartments everywhere, and they all had okay little fitness centers. So I started a mobile personal training company, and I outsourced 1099 contractors to each apartment complex, and everyone knew who signed an apartment lease got it. A consultation with one of my trainers. And, you know, before you know it, we had like 7 or 8 trainers in like 12 to 15 different apartment complexes. And after it was all said and done, without doing any training myself, you know, that was an extra $6,000 or $7,000 a month I was bringing home. And it was, life was good. Yeah. And then
young kid bringing in that money.
Yeah. It was, I mean, like, you know, when I'm a dumb kid, right? I'm going out on the weekends and doing stupid shit. But anyway, but the corporate, the Globo Gym I was working for found out I had this side gig and fired me on like a non-compete level. Mm-hmm. And so which was nice. It was forced me to kind of, you know, shit or get off the pot and do something with it. So that's kind of when I went all in, and I broke that. I took it from the mobile personal training and brought it down into a park and created a boot camp, an outdoor group model. 6 a.m., 6 p.m., ran that for 3 months, made a bunch of money, opened my first commercial facility, made a bunch of money, grew it, had to go to a bigger commercial facility, made a bunch of money, used that money to buy a building. I bought a building in Charlotte, North Carolina, moved the gym in there, made a bunch of money, and then retired when I was able to realize the opportunity for someone to lease my property. I had a 10,500 square foot building right in the heart of the South End, Loso area of Charlotte. And we had an offer for someone to come in and lease that building from me for more money than I could ever take home passively as a gym owner, even my best years. And at that point, I had a kid. I've been doing the gym owner thing since 2011. And, so now I've been consulting full-time since 2015. And then we opened up a commercial real estate arm. So now we help gym owners across the nation lease and buy buildings.
Yeah, I know, a big part of what you do now, and I didn't know a lot of it had to do with maybe like the real estate side of it, but it had to do with working with gym owners on the business side and, you know, different ways to run their business and the operations of their business. And that's interesting. So did you have that idea when, I mean, you probably didn't, but maybe the foresight?
I just wanted to own a gym. I had been living in the gym since I was a kid in detention and trying to put on weight. Like, I love physical fitness. I was a nerd. I'm an exercise, you know, exercise science is my thing. I'm a geek there. But the time I spent seeing when I first worked in that CrossFit gym and I realized we didn't know what we were doing. I didn't know what, I've never taken a business class in my life. and then going to working at a global gym and being forced into this incredibly fast-paced, high-pressure sales. Here's $20,000. I need you to go and hire 6 trainers. Here's a budget. I need you to bring in this much. I don't need you to go open these 3 clubs and get them profitable by month 6. I was just kind of thrusted into this world, and I did well because the gym business makes sense to me. I don't talk shop on things I don't understand. I don't talk shop on politics. I don't talk shop on mushrooms and teeth, like things I don't know. Like even when talking with the Ruffable Rabbit Crew, like I sit back and listen because I don't know shit about the world. I only know shit as it comes relates to fitness and the business of fitness, especially as it pertains to brick and mortar.
With the brick and mortar fitness owners, more boutique owners, people I'm thinking you work more with, what are some of the initial problems they mainly come to you for?
They were customers who had a life-changing experience and they hated their corporate job, so they thought opening a gym would be a smart idea, and it was the worst fucking idea for them. They should have never owned it. They would have made a great coach. I love whiskey. It's one of my favorite things out there. I do not have any idea. I have zero plans to open a distillery, right? A lot of people do, and I think a lot of people do the easy back of the napkin math, and we do this with every business, right? I'm going to make an online course for $100, and if I sell 10,000 of it, I'll be a million. Like, you know, you do that. Anytime the math's easy, already know you fucked up. Like, oh, this is going to be, no, it's not. Shut up. Sit down.
You're not accounting for a lot.
Yeah, just sit back down. It's not going to be easy. There's no one who's made it that it was easy. It's not a thing. So most gym owners, again, they weren't fitness professionals first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are literally people that own gyms right now and in Greenville right now that literally worked at Bank of America 17 months ago. They worked at Bank of America for 6 years, but they hated their job. They'd been a coach at a CrossFit gym. They went and got certified, and they finally quit one day. They told their boss, Larry, eat it, I'm out. And they went and leased a warehouse for $3,000 a month. And now they're going to probably have to get a HELOC on their home, and their kids' braces are going to have to go on layaway, and they can't afford to take their family on vacation because they thought owning a gym would be easy.
What do you think some of the things they don't anticipate?
HR is the most difficult part of any in-person human-centric business. Like, if you own a restaurant, if you own a gym, a salon, an office, people are fickle, complicated creatures. Mm-hmm. And in the fitness industry, like right now, do you have any friends who are doctors or lawyers?
Sure.
They went down that, they read the brochure on career day, and they're like, holy shit, I go to school for a long time, but I'm gonna make money because the problems I solve are expensive. Unfortunately, in the fitness industry, the problems we solve are not that expensive yet. The people who are going to die, like the morbidly obese, and they're on, you know, Lifetime TV, you know, the 700-pound man and that kind of thing.
Yeah, they all die.
They all die. They're not even making it to your gym. You're not saving them. The problems we solve in the fitness industry is like you know, where you're going, you're going there because you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's a good release for you. It gives you an opportunity to spend time with your significant other in a healthy, proactive way. You like the way you feel. But if push came to shove and work got really busy for you, I mean, where you were so slammed you couldn't come up for the air, you might not go to the gym for a month.
Sure. That happens all the time, yeah.
You'd be okay. So we don't solve like these big problems. Like a lawyer, though. When you need a lawyer, generally shit's gone wrong, and you need really the problem solved now, which is why he's $360 an hour. So that's the thing in the fitness industry. People just don't understand the HR element of this, and they don't realize that we are not necessarily needed in any way. Fitness is a pillar of people's schedules, and a very small percentage of the population is it a pillar of their schedule. So it's really interesting. I do a lot of concept validation consulting, so I'll get brought in, and this is my gym idea, this is what we're going to do, and this is the book. And you look kind of like Shark Tank. You start poking these huge holes. You don't even have to poke the holes. They're there, but the owner can't see them because they have snow blindness. And they're like, oh, shit. Yeah, I didn't even think of it like that. Now, granted, you can also make a ton of money in the fitness industry if you do well. One of my favorite open gym models is right down the street on Main Street. Down there is Core 24. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite. We just got one here in Charlotte. I'm a founding member there. I think he's done an incredible job. And he doesn't even do – his thing is not even fitness. He knows interior design. He knows brand, fashion, and vibes. Court about Corey Kiefer at Court 24. Incredible dude. I don't know. We're set up to do a podcast here soon. I don't even know how much he knows about business. I think he knows a lot, but even if he knew nothing, I think he'd be able to kill it because he brings this different angle to the fitness industry. Everyone else is like, is my yoga perfect? Am I hitting pigeon three perfect? Like they think about the silly stuff.
That was going to be my next question, and it's kind of a great lead in. And I know people that go to Court 24 here, and like you said, obviously you have all the equipment and you can do the exercises you want to do, but it's more about like the culture behind it, the brand behind it. For a successful gym, is that what you would suggest people look at more?
100%. 100%. Like, I mean, so let's do that. Like, let's talk the open gym model. So this would be like where you walk into a facility and there's a ton of equipment and you use it how you see fit. You're not doing a group class. You're not paying a personal trainer, right? Open gym. I go in and I do my own thing. That was really popular back in Arnold's day. Like we talk about Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. It got super popular. And then in 2010 to 2014, we start seeing this uptick of the boutique fitness scene. Okay, Orange Theory popped and all this stuff and CrossFit and now F45 and all this stuff. And every industry is very cyclical. So that open gym model, like what Corey has and Gold's Gym, that thing's been pretty much dead for 10 years. It's very few brands have done it really well. Now you're seeing a resurgence of that because that's just how life is. It's just different cycles. And he found out we all can have the same equipment. I can't trade on equipment.
Yeah, same thing.
Because everyone could buy the same equipment, right? So what do I have to do? I have to make this place have a brand, and all a brand is an operational definition for everyone listening. A brand is a person's gut instinct about a person, product, or service. Just your gut instinct. Like, what do I instantly think of? When I hear da-na-na, da-na-na, I'm like sports center, things like that. If I think of Rolex, I have a certain brand image of that. If I think of Core 24, I think influencer, Instagram famous. I think great lights, awesome artwork, banging playlists so I never have to bring my own headphones. They have beer on tap and pre-workout on tap. This place is cool. So everyone's got their own brand. And branding is, whether you like it or not, kids, it's everything you do. Whether you mean to do it or not, if your coach is consistently late to start the 6 a.m. class, that's branding. It's just not the kind you want.
Yeah, it's not the coach I want to go to.
No.
With what you do, and do these individuals like reach out to you personally? Do you go to conferences? Like, how are you connecting with a lot of them?
So, in 2014, my gym was doing really well. And because a lot of this information, unless you're like a publicly traded company, is not readily available, you just look around your immediate market and you're like, I think I'm doing really well compared to everybody, but you don't know. And so this magazine had put out, it was called Box Pro. Think of it as kind of like the Esquire, the business magazine for gym owners at the time. Box Pro magazine. And I had been writing for them for free because I was trying to get my name out there. I knew more than the average gym owner because my time spent in the Globo Gym, like that actual business realm.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing for free. They in 2014, they hosted a summit and they invited the 50 top gym owners in the country. And I wasn't invited because nobody knew who I was. So I called and I'm like, hey, make it 51. I want to come. And they're like, no, who? No, you're the guy who writes for free. Like, you're just the dude who writes free blogs for us. No. I get a phone call like 4 weeks later. Someone dropped out. We're going to give you the spot. All right. And I went in there and I got to sit at the tables with guys that in my industry are top dogs. And I sat there for a weekend and I was able to go toe to toe and have conversations and have good debate and retort. I walked away from that knowing I can put content out there now. I feel confident enough because I went there and I went toe to toe with some of the smartest guys in the industry. And I was able to keep up, if not surpass, in conversation and in things like that. So that's why. So I got back from that conference and I took my shitty iPhone at the time and I started making these horrible videos before content. I mean, I was making 16-minute videos. Like, anybody would watch that in today's world in a 90-second, Instagram reel. And I would go into Facebook groups and distribute the content. I was a part of gym owners in Arkansas, right? Studio franchisees in California. Any Facebook group in the country I could find, I was in, and I used those as distribution channels. And I grew this brand of WTF Gym Talk as kind of a media handle where I just talk shop on business as it relates for gym owners. And then that's what propelled the... And then that was 2014. By 2015, that was my full-time career. I was no longer working in my gym at that point. I was just doing full-time consulting.
Very cool.
Rebel Rabbit is on a mission to provide a healthier and smarter way to socialize and drink. Their alcohol-free, cannabis-infused seltzers are perfect for anybody just trying to kick back and relax after a hard day at work or on the golf course with your friends or hanging out at a party and you want to wake up and feel better the next day. Their seltzers are perfect for you. They are a great alternative to alcohol as well. Their website is drinkrebelrabbit.com. Use promo code LIFE20. You'll get 20% off your order. That link is in the show notes. But join the mission and start drinking and socializing smarter with Rebel Rabbit seltzers.
With it's almost like pretty insane career path too. Just go within a year to like move from being a complete gym owner to finding incredible passive income that you did from a business move of real estate.
Yeah, maybe no passive. There's none of this is passive. I believe that there is passive-ish income. I own commercial real estate. I get mailbox money. I don't do anything, and this check hits my account every month. That's as passive as it's ever going to be, comma, my HVAC blows out. The tenant goes out of business. Blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, there's just no such thing as passive. And even back then with content creation, there was no AI editors. I didn't have like a studio. We have a full built out, video and podcast and audio studio. Like, I didn't have any of that.
Yep.
I literally taught myself how to use iMovie in like, it took me 3 hours on YouTube tutorials.
Yeah. iMovie's hard, man.
It's much easier now. And now I did a year. I had hired videographers for about a little over a year. I had two videographers back and forth. And I spent probably around a little over $115,000 over that year on both of them. And I was like, fuck.
It's a lot of money.
I got to learn how to do this myself. But I was a big Casey Neistat fan on YouTube. So I dedicated a year to just first person shooting everything vlogging for an entire year. And the entire vlog's up still on YouTube. And I taught myself how to shoot, edit, produce, score, all my own stuff. And now, if I get hot, now when I can save now a video editor is way more than that. I mean, I probably save myself $175,000 a year not needing videographers.
Yep. And a lot of times now too, it's like now they don't have one or two, they have three or four.
Oh, yeah.
Team of editors too. So with the exercise science piece of your brain and knowledge, what do you do on a daily basis to get that fix of exercise and just staying healthy and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So, I work out. I mean, I've always, since I was 14, 13, worked out pretty much 4 to 5 days a week, pretty religiously. Last year I'm not a runner by trade, but last year I decided to do something that would be really hard. I trained for the Chicago Marathon.
Nice.
I ran that. That was great experience that I'll never do again. I'll never run another marathon, but.
Any injuries with that?
Yeah, I in the training for it, yeah. I mean, they're just my frame and my size and putting in the miles. So I trained, I did my first 5K, and then 3 to 4 months later, I did my first half. And about 5 months later, I did the full marathon in Chicago. And that was in October of 2024 or 2023. And, I was aggressively training for it for performance time. It was rough, but I'm glad. But now I still go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. It's always in the morning. I wake up every day at around 4 to 4:30 in the morning. And it's just also a habit of coming out of the fitness industry because you were always up early anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
with clients early and stuff.
Yeah. I knock out the gym and then I come home and I work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Tuesday and Thursdays are my days off and I kick it with my kid or my fiance and hang out. But yeah.
With running injuries, I'm fighting plantar fasciitis right now, which I've had on and off for a long time. And I played a lot of soccer growing up and through school and stuff. And it just comes back and still haven't found a great remedy for it.
How many have you worked with, like, a physical therapist for a significant period of time?
I have. I mean, I've got some good stretches for it, and I tape it up with KT tape and stuff like that, which actually the KT tape has been very beneficial, I think.
Yeah. I've always found most injuries are not, it's generally not like a lack of flexibility and length in the muscle. It's generally an instability and a weakness somewhere else. That's like, I saw my physical therapist, I think 26 times in the year training for the marathon.
Dang.
And I don't need any, I'm not tight. Like, I don't need the stretch. I had weak, like, if you want to run, running will expose every instability and muscular lack of development or strength you have in your body. If you got shit at your hips, your ankles, your back, your this, and it will mess you up. It will. And you're running, I mean, if I told you, hey, you're going to do 10,000 reps of arms today, mm-hmm. be like, that's stupid.
Yeah. The arms are going to fall off.
Go run 8 miles. You'll take 10,000 steps. And every step is a rep. So it's like running's not bad. Running with bad form, but running, the problem with running, it is the most biomechanically complicated movement in that you could physically perform. You can walk on your hands. You can do a muscle up. You can do a snatch. They are not even a fraction of how complicated.
Yep.
Running is. I'm a professional strength and conditioning coach. I've done my entire life. I still cannot properly articulate the biomechanics of running.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a year working with running coaches, like on a treadmill, three cameras on me, looking at my angles at 120 frames per second, right? Working on my stride and my gait. It's incredibly difficult, but no one thinks about running with technique. But if I throw a barbell in your hands, you're like, oh shit, am I going to hurt myself?
Yeah. You want to do it?
We are assholes. We'll snap on our running shoes and go running 6 miles and not think twice about the form.
Yeah,
and then we wonder why we get hurt.
I got a good buddy who runs a ton of marathons, and I asked him that same question I just asked you, if you had any injuries when he was training. And he said he did at the beginning, and then he learned how to run right. I was like, oh, that's perfect.
It honestly is. It's a huge thing. And I can tell when my running technique goes off, it generally takes me about a mile and a half to 2 miles of doing something I know I shouldn't be doing, but I might be doing it to go faster or whatever it may be. And instantly I start feeling certain pains. And it's just your body telling you that check engine light's on.
Totally. You'll start like feeling in the side of your knee or your hip or your side with the nutrition side of things. And you've worked with thousands of people. What do you think? I mean, so many people have the question, I want to lose weight. I want to build muscle. You know, do you have like a thing you kind of refer back to about, you know, nutrition or somebody trying to learn a healthier lifestyle?
Yeah, I've always been able, like North Carolina, you can't actually give nutrition prescriptions unless you are a registered dietitian, an RD. And I hired an RD, all through the training for the marathon. But in my role back in the day as a gym owner and a coach and a trainer, you know, I generally like the basics. Like, everyone's looking for a really, like, Andrew Huberman-specific tactic thing that I can do. Like, shut the fuck up. Eat protein. Eat some carbs. Some. Just enough to support exercise. And make sure there's veggies and fruit in there. Get some nuts. So, you know, eat meats, veggies, nuts, and seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar.
Yep.
Real simple. Meats, veggies, nuts, and seeds, some fruit, little starch, some sugar. Essentially, it's kind of like a paleo-ish prescription kind of thing. But... And I don't prescribe to any one diet. Every diet works. Every strategy works. But there's just some people, it's like they ask that question and it's kind of like, that's really not the question. I know you want a nutrition answer, but you also stayed up and binge watched whatever show on Netflix till 2 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, you go through your day and you have 7 Monster energy drinks. Like, then trust me, dude, what you're putting in your body is not the number one culprit here.
On the physical side, what do you think works best for people trying to get into shape, back into shape?
I was a CrossFit gym for a while with the gym I owned, and I at some point in around 2014, I fell out of love with that fitness model, that methodology. So we created our own version. It's called tempo training. And essentially, I'm a big fan. Like there's modifiable variables in exercise. So for everyone listening to exercises, modifiable variables would be like reps, sets, weight, okay? Rest, how much rest in between sets,
mm-hmm.
right? Time, how long are you going to lift for, okay? The only one most people don't play with is tempo, which creates time under tension. So the thing is this, is like, you know, instead of, like, I go to the gym and I haven't benched in fucking over 10 years. It's not that great of an exercise, in my opinion. You see a guy in there just like lifting as heavy as he can, but he can't control the weight. Mm-hmm. You ever see someone walking a dog on the street and the dog is dragging them down the street by the leash? And I always want to yell at the car, like, who's walking who, asshole? Like, we watch people lift weights. Are you lifting the weights or the weights lifting you? I see a guy doing barbell curls and he finally gets it up there and he can't control it. That's called the eccentric back down. So I believe tempo allows you to use sub-maximal weight, so you don't have to go for 1RMs and things like that, but you do it under tension. So instead of, like, you know, knocking out 5 back squats heavy and kind of like as fat quickly because you got to get that shit off your back, take that weight down by 20% and do 8 reps. Go down in 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, and then explosively stand up. So every rep is 8 seconds of time under tension. The more time under tension you have, the more hypertrophy, fancy language for the breaking down of this at the cellular level of the muscle, and rebuilds new if you get enough sleep, drink enough water, and eat right, you can have. And you don't have to lift, like, I don't max out. I don't find a 5 rep max. I haven't maxed out, again, probably in a decade.
Yeah, me neither. Also, I think it just causes more injuries. What you're saying, I think, prevents more injuries.
Yeah, and I'm privileged because I came from a scholastic educational background in this. So you go into the gym and you're watching guys who literally learn how to lift weights by watching YouTube. They've never had a personal trainer. They've never worked with a strength and conditioning coach. They've never done anything like that. And it's like, and it makes sense. The nice thing about group fitness that's been the big, you know, group fitness being the most popular thing in the past 10 years, it's educated the masses more as to how to properly mechanically move your body. Hinge, press, pull, lunge, squat, all that.
I've never thought about that, but you're right. That group fitness, in a way, does educate all the individuals if the trainer's good, coach is good, on how to do the movements.
Correct. And that's why now the open gym model is getting popular again. Because now if you educate, okay, do you drink craft beer?
No, I'm actually don't drink alcohol.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. So if craft beer got popular and people, like, if you think back to that, but it's like, what? Bud Light's fucking $2 at the bar, but you're paying $7 for a craft beer. If you educate a market on a product long enough, like beer, mm-hmm. they get snobby. I want IPAs. I want porters. I want stouts. Coffee. Coffee just used to be coffee. Just coffee flavored coffee. And now if you educate a market by giving them enough of the product and then variations of the product, you're essentially educating them while they're consuming. They could be like, oh, I want a mocha espresso latte pour over double venti, whatever the fuck that means, right? Like, so that's what same thing's going to happen with Rebel Rabbit and THC and Delta 9. The marketplace will get more and more educated on the different cannabinoid variants and things like that. And next thing you know, people are going to get real snobby, and there's going to be YouTube channels that talk about this blah blah sucks and this sucks, and that's what happens as a product enters the marketplace and more people consume it. So with group fitness, it's the same thing. Now people can become fitness snobs, like, oh, I don't like that yoga studio. They do a vinyasa yoga that's just I hate vinyasa yoga. I like this. It's like, bitch, what do you know? You work at Bank of America. You didn't know shit till 8 months ago, and you started going to yoga. And now you know everything. But that's what we all do. We all do that as consumers.
You're right. We try and overcomplicate it as we think we know more and more about it.
We look at it, our own experience is the epitome of that thing. And, you know, like, I don't know anything about, you know, I don't know anything about cars. I know nothing about cars, but I might get in my car and be like, oh, this car sucks. Wait, what do I know about it? Right? I just know from my one little, very small little experience in that. But that's what we do as consumers.
How'd you get linked up with the Rebel Rabbit guys?
I was in there's a spot here called the Cocktailery, and they just make really nice home bar equipment. And I was getting a new, like, shaker, new mixer for my bar, and I saw this 4-pack of this thing, Rebel Rabbit, with some THC in it. And I was like, cool. I think I was training also for the marathon. Maybe I just needed something. I was like, oh, I'll give this a try. And woo, and I like to smoke weed too. But that was always just too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I don't need to be that high.
Yeah, same.
And I found their product. I was like, holy shit. So I was a customer for a while, and I remember shooting them on an Instagram DM, be like, dude, guys, I used to own a gym, and I swear to God, I would have had way less shitty mornings if I would have had this product back in the day, because I wanted something to chill out at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And for me, that was generally beers or whiskey, or both. And yeah, I just thought their product was great, so we just got to talking, and that was a wrap.
Yeah, I do think it's great, and like I tell all my friends, and I mean, I gifted it to my brother-in-law and even my dad for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, guys, like, if you haven't tried it, like, just drink it casually, like you would drink a beer at the end of the day or on a Sunday watching football, and just you'll relax way easier, and you're not going to get a hangover. You're going to be able to sleep better. Like, there's a lot of advantages.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, and again, you get it. I mean, if you still, like, you don't have, like, for those people, a lot of people tell me that, or, like, I talk to people about it. I think I'm trying to get them to abandon alcohol. I'm like, no, 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 not abandon alcohol, but I just, you can also use it as a mixer if you want, but it just, it's a nice alternative.
That's what I tell them. It's like, yeah, it's an alternative to alcohol for maybe a night where you don't want to be drinking. And, you know, you have a big Monday morning meeting or something, and instead of, like, having your three beers on a Sunday, you can have a Rebel Rabbit and just go to sleep and wake up and be super productive.
Huge fan. I get to Greenville. I generally get to Greenville a lot. I haven't been there recently, but I told the boys when I do, I want to come down, see the new shop,
because
they took over that brewery and all that, and come hang out. But I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan of their product, and they've been they're great. They're great entrepreneur. I'm real excited for what they've got going on in the future.
Yeah,
really,
me too. Very think, like you said too. I mean, that in a way is the future, and like, of course, more competitors will come, and you know, more big box, beverage people will come into it. But it is an incredible product, and they're great people too.
They
you got to come down and check them out. Their brewery is incredible, and I know they have some big plans for the coming up year.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely reach out to them, and I'm pumped. It'll be good time.
With business owners in general, what are some of the, when they come to you, what are some of the initial steps you try and walk them through about how their business is doing or what they need to focus on to see if they could open a business?
So if I get a concept, right, so that's like, it's an idea on the back of a napkin. So if I do like a concept validation call, that's a lot more of, okay, you know, I'll do 35 to 40 flights every year, traveling all over, seeing different fitness models and meeting with people and seeing things out there. So I got a pretty good grasp. If someone wants to open up a fitness-based concept, what works, what doesn't, what's been done, what hasn't been done, and I can start helping them frame that up early, which is nice, versus when I get a client who comes to me, I've been in business 6 years, I haven't recovered since COVID, I blah, 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 you know, and, you know, I got some gyms doing $115,000 per month. Great financial cash flowing businesses. But I pop the hood to the business and I look in there, there ain't shit in there. Like, I ask them, how have you been so successful? I don't know. Like, they just were really good at their thing. It's like LeBron. If LeBron was going to coach you, it probably wouldn't be the best coaching session. That's why you want Steve Kerr to coach you, okay? Because he wasn't naturally as good as LeBron. And that's kind of where it comes in. Like, I was the best my gym ever did. We did $500,000 a year, which that's not a lot of money in the fitness world. But I had an incredibly healthy, a really good profit margin. And I employed managers for a decade, which in the fitness industry is insane. I was able to pay highly competitive rates and keep a great staff. So when I look at it, I wasn't the best. I'm not Equinox. I'm not SoulCycle. I'm not Barry's Bootcamp. I wasn't that guy, but I was good enough at the fundamentals. And that's generally what those other gyms, the ones that are already in existence, they just might have been got good with no fundamentals, in which you tie some fundamentals and they're incredible. Or some of the other ones that just never had a good plan to begin with. And the first step, it's I like numbers. You men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. So I like looking at actual data. So when someone gets on a first call with me, they're required to fill out a pretty lengthy intake form that has a lot of financial information, because otherwise I'm just getting a bunch of anecdotal shit. And I like giving very specific strategies and tactics, and I generally need numbers to do so.
Engineered Sleep makes the best mattresses out there. Sleep is the number one thing you can focus on right now to better your performance on a daily basis, and you might as well be sleeping on an engineered sleep mattress. Like I said, their products are the best, and their customer service is second to none. Their website is engineeredsleep.com. If you use promo code LIVE15, you'll get 15% off your order. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new mattress, reach out to the team at Engineered Sleep, and they'll hook you up. Again, their website is engineeredsleep.com. Use promo code LIVE15 to get 15% off your order.
Growing up in Cleveland, are you a Cavs fan?
Oh, I'm Cleveland everything. I'm scouting out my Super Bowl tickets for when the Browns go this year, right? We're going to punch that ticket. I've been waiting.
Wouldn't it be incredible to see Flacco go back to Baltimore in the playoffs?
Oh, my God. Joe fucking Flacco. Oh, my God. I'm so excited right now. So
it's kind of nuts how many yards he's throwing for right now.
And after all that money we paid Deshaun, that's the Brownsiest thing ever, is to pay Deshaun Watson all that money. And we literally could give, I think we gave Joe Flacco a $300 gift card to Foot Locker and like whatever. And he had a Chipotle gift card and he came and played for us, whatever it was.
With the Cavs and LeBron, I'm sure you were love LeBron for a while. Did you go on and off the LeBron
job? No, I left Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland. I took my talent south to Charlotte in Nashville, Tennessee. So when I watched the decision in my first apartment in Charlotte, I go, he better go to Miami. I did not think he was staying in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I just don't want him to go to New York. And I was like, good for him, man. You got to go play with some badasses, learn how to do that whole thing. And I mean, I've only cried during one sporting event ever. And that's when we won the national championship coming down from 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. And I cried at the end of that game. And I probably will not cry at another sporting event until the Browns win the Super Bowl.
There you go. I'm a big LeBron guy, dude. So yeah. He was my freshman year of high school. It was his rookie year in the league. And
Bro, I got to see him. I went to high school down the street from him. I got to see him play football. Akron. You want to see that, bro? He played football? Oh, my God. He was so good.
I know. It is quite crazy to think. Like, if you threw him at tight end somewhere, threw him on the Browns. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
He could do anything athletically. With your career, with what you have going on and coming up, you know, how can people reach out to you? You have going on in 2024? If people do want to work with you, what can they do?
Yeah, so I mean, you could just Google WTF Gym Talk, and you'll see my ginger face there, and the podcast, and all the content, and all that, and that's mainly if you are in the fitness industry, either online or brick and mortar, and you know some concept validation or business consulting, we can satisfy you there, and then on the real estate side of the fitness industry, and this is pretty much anything wellness, fitness, brick and mortar. If you need help leasing or buying a building. We do that on the gym real estate side. You can go to, gymrealestate.co and learn more about that there. But that's my 2024. I love the work because I love what I do. I'm going to hang out with my daughter a bunch. I'm going to travel, probably get married this year.
Nice, right?
Yeah, correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So, That's my 2024. So as long as I just keep waking up, man, that I'm happy.
You're darn right about that. Well, thank you for joining me. I'm pumped the Rebel Rabbit guys linked us up and
not
too far already. And when you come to Greenville, if I'm ever up in Charlotte, we got to get together.
Absolutely.
We'll share Rebel Rabbit.
That would be phenomenal. I'd love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Give our partners some love by visiting their links in the show notes. Spink's convenience stores, you can find the location nearest you. Rebel Rabbit Seltzers, they're on a mission to socialize healthier and smarter, so join the mission. And Engineered Sleep, making the best mattresses in the game. You might as well be sleeping on an Engineered Sleep mattress. For me, if you could give our show a 5-star rating on your listening platform, that'd be greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for listening.